Good evening. This is Mae Bressel. The title of this broadcast is World Watchers. It's a one-hour analysis of the news. I hope that you tape it right off the air. If you don't, copies of the broadcast are available. And also, you may send for the bibliography sheet that I use for each broadcast. Write to Mae, M-A-E, Bressel, B-R-U-S-S-E-L-L, P.O. Box 25211, Carmel, California, 93922. I started the program last week with a Reaganism of the Week. Lou Cannon publishes them in the Washington Post, and I thought I'd do the same thing this week. He had some outrageous quotations when he was governor of California, and he's been keeping them up as president of the United States. This week, regarding the Challenger shuttle disaster, after he got his report from William Rogers and the commission that studied that tragedy, Reagan said, in quotes, "Maybe part of it was also due. I've often wondered this. If part of it wasn't due to the balmy climate of Florida, and it was difficult for anybody to believe that they'd have a cold snap that could render that O-ring dangerous." Translated, that means it was hard for him to believe that the decision to launch the same evening that he would be giving his State of the Union message defied his conception of that there's a balmy night in Florida around the clock and every month of the year. The New York Times published part of the Challenger study of this event, and they have a little section with a diagram called Launching the Cold. And in this diagram, it explains that when the Challenger was launched on January the 28th, the temperature of the joints was 28 degrees, 25 degrees colder than on the previous coldest launch. So I don't think they were going on the assumption of balmy evenings when early in the morning they were told it was too cold to take off because of the icicles around the shuttle. And then about 2 hours later, they went anyway, and it was still cold and not very balmy. A member of the commission that put the report together, Albert Whelan, he's the vice president, executive vice president of Hughes Aircraft. He had an interview right after the report came out, June the 7th, 1986. The San Francisco Chronicle has large black letters under their picture. It says, "Not like reading a murder mystery, White House gets shuttle probe report." And then the quotation of Albert Whelan is, "Don't expect a detective thriller. It's not like reading to the last page and finding out who done it. You kind of already know that." Well, who done it? Do we already know it? And where are the logs of the White House with their communication down to NASA that very day? Seven calls they made. But he goes on, you know, and describes it's not exactly a mystery story because you know who did it, and so you don't expect anything like a detective thriller. Muammar Gaddafi is somewhat in hiding since the bombing of Libya. But the newspaper JANA, J-A-N-A, that's the official newspaper from Libya, the official press agency, had an interesting quotation from Muammar Gaddafi's speech. He recently gave one, June the 11th. And the quotation that was reprinted in London and picked up by JANA said, in quotes, a search is underway in all the documents on Reagan's past in the Gestapo. This is Muammar Gaddafi saying. Now, I have believed that the time that he co-starred with Errol Flynn, when Errol Flynn was a member of the Gestapo with Dr. Urban, that Ronald Reagan's conservatism began, well, not when he was co-starring in 1940 and in 1942 with Errol Flynn, but began when he left the college in Illinois and the radio announcing and was flown to Catalina and then got a contract at Warner Brothers. I think his Gestapo background goes into Chicago, the far-right fundamentalists, the silver shirts, the nucleus of the future very far-right organizations in this country now. And I won't run them down for you at this time because that's another subject that I've done and can do again. But it's interesting that maybe Muammar Gaddafi is discovering that information is power, and information about Ronald Reagan, not only with Gestapo agents, but if he in fact had a past similar to Errol Flynn's with Dr. Urban, it would explain everything that he has done from the Hollywood film days to General Electric to his position as governor and the people he was surrounded with and his absolute dedication now to making World War III against the Soviet Union. The very important change of justices this week can't be passed over, and I'll be doing a lot of that and opinion of these various new people that are taking top positions as Chief Justice and as a new appointee on the court. But Warrenberger stepped down for a specific reason as the Chief Justice, and that was to take over the celebration of the Constitution in 1987. There's going to be a 200th anniversary of the United States Constitution. And it seems to be so important, and the beginning funds for it are going to cost $200 million, that does this really require the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court to step down to get ready to celebrate a Constitution that he's supposed to be observing every day? And what are the implications of Warrenberger taking on this new role to put together this committee? The first committee was plagued by a person assigned to the job of raising the money and putting on the celebration. That's the former Senator Roger Jepson from Iowa. And he lost his Senate seat in 1984 after telling the Congress and having discovered that he was engaged in nude encounters in a Des Moines health spa. But after he was moved aside, the committee was in disarray. And the choice of Warrenberger, the Chief Justice, taking on this so-called anniversary of the Constitution is very eerie. Way back in 1979, August the 3rd, 1979, on my program of World Watchers, it was broadcast number 400, I cited the study that was done from the University of Chicago with Rexford Tugwell, and it was part of a group of brain trusts out of the University of Chicago that moved to Santa Barbara and worked in conjunction with Adolf Burl. I've given his background many times on various programs and his links to bringing in the Iron Guard, the Romanian Iron Guard, into this country, Nazi war criminals among them. Some were placed like Nikolai Malaxa in Richard Nixon's law office in Whittier. And the institute that decided on the new constitution, or what would be the best constitution for America, was moved to Santa Barbara from Chicago in 1964. It was signed by Rexford Tugwell, and the essence of it was to do away with 50 states, make 20 republics. The president would be one term, 9 years. The Senate would be approved for life. The former vice president would be a traveling representative of the country in different other countries. There would no longer be a Bill of Rights, a no trial by jury, and no right to bear arms. But the interesting thing is that when that was put together, Warrenberger, as the Chief Justice of the United States, oh no, this is before he was appointed Chief Justice, he was in Michigan, he flew out to California. This was in New York Times, September 8th, 1970. He flew to California to insist that the trial by jury be one of the things eliminated from the new Constitution. He said it slows the wheel of justice and the adversary system. It doesn't necessarily produce justice. So Warrenberger was against a trial by jury, and now he's in charge of the celebration of the Constitution, of which he was a part and member, to destroy. Now that gets eerie, because I've said for a long time that the purpose of a constitutional convention, the main purpose, is to change the Constitution to allow a foreign-born, specifically Henry Kissinger, to become President of the United States. And I believe that the raising of our debts, our budget, and the deficit has increased where we're still spending money. The Graham Rudman won't hold the line. It will require a constitutional convention, and the excuse is to balance the budget. That will be one of the excuses, but they'll throw in the Henry Kissinger, and now with the new appointee on the court, they'll also try to throw in the overthrow the decision that abortion is legal. Now, this coming week, the 4th of July celebration takes place, and Henry Kissinger is going to get a Medal of Honor. I mentioned this before on the program. And if he's in a position where the President of the United States is giving him a Medal for Honor, then they must think that he's capable of becoming President of the United States. He has so much political clout. Now, you think of what he's done in various countries, in Chile, I don't have to run them all down, in Iran, in Southeast Asia, in the Middle East, in Central America, South America. What has he done that he deserves a Medal of Honor, except that just as the Esmeralda is going to be in the harbor, invited to participate, the tortured ship from Chile, Henry Kissinger, who put in the Pinochet government and was behind the murder of Salvador Allende, and that dictatorship, Henry Kissinger, will get a Medal of Honor. and the Esmeralda will be in the harbor. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. The subject was brought up in the Senate and passed over. The invitation still holds. I updated the Constitution story in May of 1984, 2 years ago, broadcast number 650. And these are very important for new listeners to obtain if you can. And it's about the doing away with the two-party system and making it appear as a two-party system as we work towards a single government. And proposals were put up by Ted Sorensen, former director of the CIA, who works closely with Henry Kissinger, and with Michael Ledeen and Claire Sterling and a group from Georgetown Center of Strategic and International Studies to change aspects of our government that are very dangerous. They would have a cabinet and sub-cabinet divided between two parties. President and vice president would be of opposite parties. The president would have advisory council of elder statesmen. And the gist of the new revising of the Constitution and the arrangement of the government is a continuation with the same people who are still alive, some have passed away, of using the excuse that we have such terrible conditions in the world that we can't have opposing Republican and Democratic Party. And again, they brought up the subject of the president serving one term and using the elder statesman. That would include Richard Nixon, who's now described as the elder statesman. And an appraisal of this new Constitution, the changing of the system, came out at the time of the elections, the last elections, and they were published in various newspapers. I have one copy here, August 17th, 1984, from the San Francisco Chronicle, but it has to do with a nonpartisan committee on the constitutional system, and 200 people got together to decide that, yes, this is what we should do, change the Constitution, and it includes people like William Simon, a Knight of Malta, and Clark Clifford, a legal advisor to all of the administrations, and so forth. Now, working with Ted Sorensen of the CIA, an attorney trying to change the Constitution, he's a member of the law office with Simon Rifkin. Rifkin is the lawyer that set up TCI, the corporation that had Otto von Bolschwing in that organization, and John Paul Getty and Helene von Damm as their translator while she worked for Ronald Reagan. And this was the head of the Galen operation in the United States, closely linked to Elmer Bops and the American Medical Association. And the law offices of Simon Rifkin are very important, as he was the attorney for Chris Kraft. John DeLorean owned a good share of Chris Kraft. And the interconnections of the people in power, such as Henry Kissinger and Simon Rifkin and Sorensen, all weave and mold together. But the important point is that they are updating the idea of changing the Constitution. Warren Berger wants $200 million as a starter. It will maybe look like an innocent study, like we're having the celebration of the Statue of Liberty, but putting Henry Kissinger there to get the award identifies Kissinger with liberty and freedom, and then the next step is to make Henry Kissinger president. Also, the Washington Times last November, November 13th, 1985, has a long, it's a paid ad, Reagan to seek a third term. It's got a question mark. There's an organization called Patriotic Americans for a Reagan Third Term, and it's about changing the Constitution again, letting him stay in the Oval Office. And the Patriotic Americans think that Reagan should have a third term, and there are organizations now working very hard to let Ronald Reagan stay in office. Henry Kissinger, the fellow that is the focal point of all these various events and organizations that all come together, gave a speech recently, May 19th, right after the explosion in the Soviet Union at Chernobyl factory there, the atomic plant. And his speech was about the fact that the Russians are going to outgrow their space within 5 years or can get aggressive, that we have to have a hard line against the Soviet Union because in five more years they won't have the resources they need and there'll be a crisis and they'll solve it through expansion. Well, Great Britain built their empire by solving it through expansion. The British built, the Spanish built their empire the same way. The Germans did theirs. We take colonies such as Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, the Philippines. And so it isn't unique that various large countries and groups have sought territory for expansion. But Henry Kissinger's speech was about Chernobyl, supposed to be about that, and various events taking place. But the main thrust is that within 5 years, we have to stop them. And, of course, he works very heavily with those people involved with Star Wars and an aggressive position such as John Layman, who announces how he intends to start World War III. The Senate, as I say, passed by hand, I guess, a proposal to do away with the Esmeralda, the ship, the torture ship coming to New York. But the White House just passes that over, and just a suggestion that there was resistance in Congress so that Ted Kennedy and a few could get up and make notice that the torture ship will be there for the celebration. But the powers that be are very much in control and not interested in that kind of talk. Another interesting link of Kissinger, who's getting the Medal of Honor, that can develop a very, I don't know how far it's going to go, is the link of the murder of Olof Palme of Sweden to Chile. Now, to have Palme murdered by somebody who they are trying to connect to Michael Townley and the persons that killed Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffat in Washington, D.C., isn't hard to do. Henry Kissinger ordered the murder of Allende, ordered him removed, put in Pinochet, and the people that killed Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffat in Washington, D.C., have direct links to Kissinger and to the powers that be that can use Chilean or American CIA assassins very easily, because they go between this country and Chile and around the world over to Germany. And the people that killed Letelier and Moffat were over in Germany before they came to the United States for this murder. So the Stockholm police have asked the FBI, which will be of little use under Mr. Webster, to look into the case of the murder of Orlando Letelier and the American Michael Townley, because they believe that there are links to the person who killed Olof Palme. Now, Kissinger is very, very close to Sweden and to the powers that be. I'm not going to digress to that now because I have much more I want to get into, but I'll do the Swedish connections to biotechnology, to advanced genetic sciences, and to the Olof Palme murder in the weeks to come. But again, Kissinger has a finger in all these pieces of the pie. And George Bush, our vice president, was the CIA director at the time of the Letelier-Moffat murders and is directly linked to the military junta in Chile. There was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle, now getting back to the Challenger for a moment, and many of you might have seen it was syndicated, I guess, by AP around the country. The title of the article is Shuttle Photo Caption Errors. And this is a correction by Harold G. Buell, Assistant General Manager for the Associated Press, that the picture taken of Krista McAuliffe's parents at the time the shuttle was launched was one of horror or surprise at the launching, and it wasn't the horror or the reaction when the shuttle exploded a moment later. Now, that it doesn't make much difference when the picture was taken, during the launch or at the explosion time. It was a very effective picture, but the interesting thing is that the person in charge of the films who played them back and who apologized for erroneously captioning this photograph is Harold G. Buell, working with NASA on the launch photographs when so many of the other cameras were confiscated. Now, going back again in time, for you new listeners or some old listeners that don't remember, August the 1st, 1983, 3 years ago, broadcast number 608, I was talking about Harold Buell and the information that I had that he was the courier for money that John DeLorean paid for cocaine that he gave to Klaus Barbie, that the cocaine came from Bolivia and was put into the bank account of Joseph Mengele in Zurich, Switzerland, November the 13th to 15th, 1982. I have the town and the dates that he traveled there, and he, according to my sources, is a courier for this kind of activity and was in Zurich, Switzerland. And I have contacted certain authorities involving the Klaus Barbie case, the DeLorean case, and Mengele case, all three, and never get any satisfaction, not a hard no, but no satisfaction on the case. August 15th, 1983, I did more about the links of Joseph Mengele and the CIA, Klaus Barbie and the CIA, drug traffic in South America, and their relationship to Richard Nixon, to Michael Sindona, to Ronald Reagan, and Licio Gelli, and to Paul Laxalt, and the Las Vegas connections, and then going down to 20th Century Fox in Hollywood, in Beverly Hills, California, actually just outside of Beverly Hills, where William Rogers is on the board of directors of Fox Studio, and the relationship of Henry Kissinger and William Rogers to to the scandals of drug money, Nazis, and the meshing of the drug traffic and the Hollywood connections to the cocaine and the international connections. Now, that same William Rogers is the one that was the person in charge of the shuttle investigation and tried as hard as he could to cover up many aspects of it. August the 27th, 1984, 2 years ago, on broadcast 664, I talked again about the money in Zurich, Switzerland, about Mengele's attorney, Fritz Steinecker, and about Mr. Buell as a possible courier to that bank account. And then I talked about Mr. Hal Buell from the Associated Press with a William Buell from Radio Free Europe, and Hal Buell has a uncle or a cousin in the State Department whose name Edgar, his nickname is Mr. Pop Buell. Pop Buell is a funding source to South America medical supplies and to the Contras and to the dictatorships in South America. So the name hasn't been in the news very much, but it's interesting that I have been trying to ask questions and find out more about the Buell family, Hal Buell, Edgar Buell, William Buell, their links to the State Department, to Radio Free America, to Joseph Mengele and Klaus Barbie. And now he is down there at NASA with a very critical day when the ship, for all purposes, was going to explode. And he's in charge of the photographs, and it was the photographs on the icicles that were caught by the television cameras that literally opened up this case. Now, for the remaining half hour and the remaining part of the program, I want to go into an appointment that was made by Ronald Reagan this past week that is very, very important. I'd like to go fast, but I'm going to go slow because for new listeners, it's complicated, and for old listeners, again, you might forget this. But I'll begin with a story that was in the New York Times June the 4th, just past week, 2 weeks ago. Former NASA head is the choice of Reagan for science advisor. And the gist of this article is that Ronald Reagan has appointed Dr. William Graham, who's also Admiral William Graham, who was the acting head of NASA just at the time, just from January until the shuttle blew up, actually, who's now been named as the chief of science advisor for the White House. He was the acting director of NASA when it launched in the cold weather. And Dr. Graham has been described in the New York Times in the appointment article as an electrical engineer, long experience in the Defense Department and Energy Department, works with nuclear war weapons and strategy and design of nuclear weapons. The New York Times goes on, there's been a delay in this post since December, 2 months ago. A lot of people were wanting this position as science advisor. George Kiworth II was acting advisor for the president. He's an ardent supporter of the administration's space-based anti-missile defense system, the Star Wars system, and he's going back to a private consulting firm, I suppose, to work on that. The delay brought sharp criticism from officials because the president wouldn't assign a person to be head of the science group, and there's a group called the American Association for the Advancement of Science. It's the largest scientific group in the United States, and evidently it covers biology and DNA and all kinds of scientific research, as well as atomic science and radiation and war weapons. Science is a broad science in this term, American Association for the Advancement of Science, and a spokesman for them was glad that the president had resolved this position. It pays $75,000 a year, and Mr. Graham has a PhD from Stanford, and he was nomination requires confirmation from the Senate, so it remains to be seen if he will be appointed. Now, Reagan has selected as the head of his science department a man who allowed the launching to take place, and the disaster took place. So instead of moving him out to pasture because he wasn't minding the fence, even though he had only been acting director for 1 month, he was an admiral. Richard truly is an admiral. The launching was scary with the icicles. I have no position in defense or weapons or missiles, and I saw what was going on that morning of January the 28th. So he's now come in as, after being acting director of NASA at the time of the accident, to be the chief science advisor under the president. The former director of NASA, Mr. Beggs, it was moved out because of indictment, because of huge caused overruns at General Dynamics, and he stepped aside. Now, the day that the launch took place, the NASA launch took place, I cited that Mr. Graham, Admiral Graham, wasn't even in his office to watch it take place, even though he was the acting director for 1 month. The launch was delayed 3 days because of weather. It was important enough that Vice President George Bush was supposed to see the launch on Sunday and couldn't stay down because of the delays, because it was a commitment. The morning launch was scrubbed because of icicles, so you would think that Graham would be watching very attentively at the NASA offices because of the very tricky conversations the night before, and Rockwell saying don't launch. Michael Deaver is the public relations man representing Rockwell now, and he certainly has a foot into the White House, had a pass in and out. So the same day of the launch, Daniel Graham was in the office of Representative Manuel Lujan, L-U-I-A-N, Jr., New Mexico, on broadcast 740. It was February the 10th. I asked the question, why wasn't he curious to watch this launch? Now, the news media did say that there was one other person, there may have been many who didn't watch it, who should have, but there was one who wouldn't watch it because he knew the icicles were dangerous and he didn't want to see these people blow up. And he was one of the people saying, don't send it off in this cold weather. And I just wonder why Mr. Graham was in Congress, in the halls of Congress, with Manuel Lujan. Now, New Mexico, Los Alamos, New Mexico, is where the testing of atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, and so forth take place, and the rockets and missiles. It's the sister station, along with Lawrence Livermore Lab, for all kinds of experimentations. And Lujan is a ranking GOP member on the House Science Technology Committee. And as soon as this ship blows up, they'll have another one built to replace it. May take a few months or years to get it on the drawing board to get the money, but they'll get the money. And this William Graham wasn't even watching it and tending to business. So after this takes place and the Shuttle Challenger goes down, he is promoted to be science advisor to the president. Now, he's also a member of the board of directors of the Committee on Present Danger. He is a very conservative man, William Graham. Admiral Graham from NASA is part of the Committee on Present Danger. And I'll go into that in about 1 minute or two. I just are on the second half of this broadcast. Now, when informed of the Graham nomination, according to the New York Times, June the 4th, and this is very important, when informed of the Graham nomination, Lawrence Bogorod, B-O-G-O-R-A-D, a Harvard University biologist and president-elect of that new group, that new science group, is not new, but he's the new president, American Association for the Advancement of Science, said, it is better to have somebody in this office than nobody, of course. And if that person has the ear of the president, that's important. So as Bogorod becomes the new president of the American Association for the Advancement of Sciences, he's saying that we will have the ear of William Graham from the atomic sciences, from the Defense Department, from the atomic energy. He will be a person whose ear is important, and therefore he was familiar enough with Graham from defense work and so forth to say he will represent our interests. He said that's important, and then he says this person who's appointed by Reagan has to be one who understands what science means to the nation's future and understand the scientific community. Not what the scientist understands very well what science means, but they've never cared about the community. The pollution, the atomic waste, the radiation, the results of what happens to us has not been the concern of these particular biologists and scientists, and there's no indication that it will be of concern to them in the future. Now, I want to do more. We'll take a one-minute break, and then I want to go back to Lawrence Bogorod, B-O-G-O-R-A-D, and AGS, and to Mr. The appointment of William Graham, Admiral Graham, to be the scientific advisor to Ronald Reagan at this time. Ronald Reagan was never particularly kind to the Chicano or Mexican farm workers in California, so it's interesting that this team is ready to put live bacteria into the areas where they will be working, and I've feared for a long time it smells of a possible genocide or a testing of person's strength when exposed to bacteria. That's what I'm leading to, and that's what I'm afraid they're doing. And now with William Graham as a science advisor and his proximity to AGS and other similar people in the so-called science field, I wonder how much is science and how much is manipulative and big business at the expense of the people all around. As I say, we'll take a one-minute break and then continue with those questions and some more about this appointment that Ronald Reagan made as a science advisor.